It's time for the Berkshire Edge Online on Air. It's the Berkshire Edge on Air. You can find, of course, the Berkshire Edge at berkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com. But right here on a Wednesday morning, let's bring in the stars of the show.
Well, this is the alternate reality, you know.
Now, I want to know, how'd you guys make out there in South County and the big storms that came through?
Oh, yeah. Well, our electricity...
What storms?
Right.
We had the Iron Dome over the whole county. No. Great Barrington, I think the worst damage was in the south of us here from Great Barrington.
Yeah, we had golf ball sized hail down here.
Yeah.
But anyways, well, let us get to the to what we've got to talk about today, and that is, believe it or not, town elections in Sheffield, New Marlborough, and Great Barrington.
Yes. Well, did you have town elections also?
No, our town elections will come up on regular
on
election day itself.
In November.
Yeah.
Well, this is the old New England tradition.
Yep.
Not that you're not in New England, but maybe you're not, really. Anyways, in New England, in Massachusetts and Vermont, there's an annual day in which which is at the beginning of the second week of May, in which all these town elections take place. And the annual town meeting, which is really the legislative body of the town, and then the week after the town meeting, elections take place for selectmen and various other elected town posts, like the planning board, finance committees, that sort of thing. So we've been having that process go on this past week, this week, and we have some surprising results. Women won.
Yay!
It's becoming part of a national trend.
Certainly women are running.
They have to run to win. I have to say that.
I
was a little bit just. I love the way it's being presented. Yay, women won! But yeah, get run first, and then you can win.
And more women. Oh,
yeah, that's right. And that's great.
Well, in Great Barrington, a newcomer actually won. Kate Foyer Burke.
And a young woman.
She has kids, and she's bringing a kind of youthful energy, and or at least a youthful perspective, relatively youthful, to the select board, which is really a good point. I mean, there's been a number of years ago there were several women on the select board. There was Deb Phillips and Alana Ternilla, and Alana was a writer and had young kids, and she was a great cook and wrote a well-known cookbook. So, since then, it's gone. The membership of the Board of Selectmen has gone back to the usual male membership, so it's great to see Kate win this election yesterday. So. Congratulations to her.
Well, speaking of women, although this is not on the edge, we had a phone call the other day from one of our readers urging us to do a review of the film The Notorious RBG. You know, there's a film about Ruth Bader Ginsburg that just opened at the Triplex in Great Barrington. And this reader said that she's kind of appalled. She had a conversation with a 13-year-old girl about what it had been like for women 40 years ago. And, she said most women 40 years ago graduated from college, became either a teacher or a secretary, got married, had children, went back to working as a teacher or a secretary, and that was really, the almost the only option. And this 13-year-old girl said, really? Well, why didn't you do something else?
Well, I was thinking about that today, simply not because I didn't know about the 13-year-old. But I just realized that I guess my parents must have been ahead of their time, because no one said, oh, wow, you're a woman. You can only do X, Y, Z.
Well, that's funny, because during World War II, my mother, who was a great chemist in high school, She was recruited out of high school to work during the war by a rubber company, and the place she was at invented Naugahyde, by the way.
Oh, really?
But after the war was over, what happened?
Well, what happened?
She was kicked out, and she became a housewife, and later on in life became a successful businesswoman. But after the war was over, it didn't matter that all her efforts. She was just a thank you, goodbye.
Well, no, it's true, and I mean, I don't mean to digress too much, but the fact is that I've had some familiarity with this subject, and if you look at the women's magazines. In the late 40s and 50s, you see the huge shift in what's being written for women. Pride in being a housewife and a mother, you know, the whole sort of, this is what led to ultimately Betty Friedan's feminine mystique, that all of the literature after the Second World War shows the way women were urged to forget about working, go back home, you know, take these women's jobs, but you know the real jobs are now for the men who are home again. So it was a big social movement.
And then let's say Betty Friedan is in her late 70s, and Gloria Steinem is in her 80s, and
well,
it's like there's a whole group now.
Is
and,
Betty Friedan alive?
I'm not even positive, but. Let's go on to the next topic, Marshall.
Yeah.
I was just crossing because Betty's no longer with us.
No, I think she's not.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. But she was quite a
fart. I was thinking of Bella Abzug anyway.
Bella Abzug, well,
and she's
right.
Also not with us.
So that's why
I didn't know about Betty. I wasn't thinking. I just had the wrong person who I knew.
We have Jane Fonda.
We do.
You've got Jane Fonda, but you also have Gloria Steinem. She's
yes,
Gloria
that's exactly
Steinem
right.
is still very much alive.
All right,
yeah.
Now, David, did we take the elections away from you, or are you done?
No, I'm interested in this. I think this is worthwhile. It was why I mentioned that women were winning, because I thought it might provoke exactly this kind of discussion.
She died 12 years ago, by the way, Betty Friedan.
And another woman in just to mention, Renee Wood returned and got elected to the Sheffield Board of Selectmen. So, good.
She had been a select person. She
and Tara White was reelected in
New Marlborough.
So that's great. You know.
So, but I think we have to wait until November because the Times had an article the other day about the number of women who are running all over the country, and whether or not they really have a chance to win. So,
well, you know what they say. As goes Sheffield, so goes the nation.
And you can't win if you don't run, all right?
But, I think we talked about this last week, but, we are living in a kind of interesting bubble here in southwestern Massachusetts, and, I'm not even sure that it extends so much into Connecticut. But, when we passed this bottle law last week, this is kind of revolutionary. At the town meeting last week, and I think we talked about this, Great Barrington passed a regulation that in a year we will no longer be selling single-serve water bottles.
Plastic
water bottles. So it's really quite something to, we're in a very progressive area. This may not pertain elsewhere.
Yeah. All right. I want to go on to your second story because it's pretty interesting. Despite reports, as you put it, that the school-age population is declining, the Montessori school in the Berkshires is actually expanding as its enrollment increases.
Well, that's right. We had a little story about they've opened some new phase two of a expansion. They're not done either. But the Montessori school in Lenoxdale is growing, and their enrollment is increasing, and so their facilities are they've expanded their facilities to add a music room and a multi-purpose room, which is really kind of can be used as a kind of exercise gymnasium, and In addition to that, they have a new library, so they're building on to the facility they have there, and they're adding playgrounds and gardens. You know, the Montessori school, the kids go out and help plant gardens, it's part of their curriculum. So, by the way, full disclosure, one of my kids goes there. I should say that. I thought it was interesting that they're expanding. I mean, it is news. And meanwhile, there's such concern about the school population in Berkshire County declining, so much so that school districts are talking about combining districts and closing schools and combining them into larger facilities. So it's very interesting that this is a phenomenon. I'm not sure what to make of it.
Well, that is something that Marshall mentioned earlier here, because there's a similar problem, because a lot of people send their kids to private schools here.
And we have a declining population, but more and more people are saying, you know what, even though we pay taxes, we're choosing to send because we don't like what's going on with the administration of Region 1.
You know, that's the thing. What is it about the public schools that they don't like? What's going on here?
I think people are upset with the administration, and they don't feel like that the public schools are generally reactive enough to what the public and the taxpayers want, not only what the administration want and what educators want. It seems educators are left out of a lot of administrative decisions here in Region 1.
By administration,
but we're talking about widely.
Are you talking about the federal administration?
No, we're talking about the Region 1 administration.
But the bigger question was, why is that also prevalent in South County?
Right.
Or might it be?
And you know, we really have a terrific school administration here. I mean, it's certainly in the Berkshire Hills Regional School District.
Yeah.
We have a terrific superintendent, very enlightened. They're working very hard.
I'm going to posit something that may or may not be true, but certainly isn't politically correct. And I just think that there's also, depending on your socioeconomic situation and demographic, there's an instant assumption, you're going to get a different situation if you go private, so to speak.
Lot of people have reacted against, and this is not so much local, but have reacted against the standardized testing that, has been imposed by the federal government and the state government, and that, the complaint that the public schools are teaching to the tests and not teaching. But I think they're also strapped for resources.
I think that testing is really one of the key elements. I know that there are parents in Montessori who have left the public school system because of the testing. That's exactly why they left.
Okay.
It's interesting. I guess parents are saying, it's not what do they want, but it's what students need in this world, in this kind of economy and in their future. And I think that's what parents are really keenly thinking about,
and they need
and
to learn to do
things.
Wondering
whether the public school system, in its current condition, is meeting those needs.
All right. In the we've only got about another 8 minutes left. I want to get to the story by Mary Douglas, the update on negotiations over the PCB removals from the Housatonic.
Yes, we have a really terrific environmental reporter. She was actually an EPA lawyer at one time, so she knows where the bodies are buried or being buried under Scott Pruitt. This has been a decades-long struggle to remove the carcinogenic polychlorinated biphenyls, otherwise known as PCBs, from the river. The river banks and the river bed of the Housatonic River, that was deposited there for decades by the General Electric plant in Pittsfield. In fact, it contaminated the river in Connecticut as well. So, but in any case, the EPA has been charged with devising a plan to remove the pollution. And you know, it's very expensive. We're talking about $500 million here that GE is going to have to pay to clean this river. And so they're arguing over the degree to which the river is going to be remediated. And so Mary's tracking where that process is now. And, of course, the EPA is a different agency, somewhat different agency now. I know that Jim Murphy, who has been the spokesperson for the EPA for many years, is really, you know, he can't talk to the press without some EPA handler being present in the room now. That was never the case before. I mean, you call him up and I'd say, well, how is the cleanup process going, and where are you guys? And he just chat, you know, quite frankly about where things stood and what, you know, what people were involved. And now he can't do that because that's the new regime.
That's a sign of the times. Yeah, absolutely. The national regime.
Yep.
Yep. Now I want to move from that and from PCBs to something a little more positive, especially for the Berkshire Museum, which could use some positive news.
Oh, jeez. It could use some positive, but, you know, it is really an important community institution, and I feel that the whole institution is being maligned because of the sale of the art. So, but yes, it could use some positive news.
Well, we have a little story about an event that was conducted at the Berkshire Museum, because it aside from its exhibitions and its collection, it does have these kind of interesting programs. And one was one that was being run by a fellow named Harry Park, and it's called Pecha Kucha.
I know about this.
And it's 20 slides and 20 seconds of, it's 400 seconds of a presentation. And they've been conducting these episodes at the museum, and they're quite popular. And we have a quite a nice story about what they are. They're a Japanese term meaning chit-chat. And it talks about, you know, various aspects of art and art history are all presented in a very rapid fire form, and that's what, and they do them at what they call PK nights.
Pecha Kucha nights.
Pecha Kucha nights, yeah. Right? And the next one is tomorrow night.
So basically, this is just like intensely slamming the brain with this information.
Right. Exactly.
No, really. Okay.
And good for the Berkshire Museum, actually, for doing something like this. It sounds like fun.
It sounds like a visual version of speed reading, which I was taught many, many years ago. And to me, the teachers found out, proved to be an unbelievable failure.
Reading?
Yeah, I could do it, but I did not.
But you didn't remember what you read.
I did not learn nearly as well as I did with regular reading. I mean, it was a regular test that was done, and I enjoyed it because I could get through things quicker. But my comprehension rate was about 35% less than before.
Yeah, sure. Remember, it was if you remember, President Kennedy was the one who talked about Evelyn Wood, and it became quite a fast
speed reading.
President Kennedy studied with her.
Can't mention Evelyn Wood without mentioning, and now I've just spaced the name, but learning shorthand and dictation.
Oh, yeah,
that's
Greg and Pittman, but where did you go? Where did you go for that? It was a secretarial school. What was it called?
I must have sped read that because I don't remember it.
I often wished I had studied shorthand. It would be very valuable in taking notes.
Katie Gibbs,
right.
Oh, you had to be trained. That's just right.
All right. Anyways, let's move on to the final thing. You've got a publication about to hit the stands, berkshirescalendar.com.
Oh, yes. Well, it doesn't hit the stands yet. David is a little premature when he made this list.
Well, I just
what,
we
David?
Should
tease it. We should definitely tease it. But, you know, we have a wonderful calendar online. We've mentioned it, and it's only growing. We invite the public to post their events, and they are posting their events. And so, you know, we are little by little we have the calendar for finding out what's going on. And the full range of things, you know, from Tanglewood down to community suppers. So, and you know, Connecticut is welcome to post their events here, too. But we have decided that, you know, we're publishing a gorgeous overview of the upcoming season that we're sending to the printer today, and it should be in distribution June 1st or June 2nd, as soon as we get it back from the publisher. And this is going to be a free brochure. But it's more than a brochure. It's a magazine. It's 8.5 by 11. It's glossy. It's 64 pages. But it really will be extremely useful both for visitors and for permanent residents, because it's an overview of 9 towns in the Berkshires and also categories like dance and theater and arts. What are the highlights? And, you know, telling people, of course, that if they want full information, they can just come to our calendar, which has the URL, berkshirescalendar.com. And the magazine is also called berkshirescalendar.com. So we've been working very hard on this. This is really an overwhelming project. We are sending it to the printer today. I'm going to be proofreading this morning, and we're very excited about it.
All right. Well, we'll obviously hear more about it next week.
We will.
Good.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll pick up
a copy, Marshall.
Okay. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That is Berkshire Edge on Air. You can find them at theberkshireedge.com on the web.